There are two ways you can approach God's word. As a tree of knowledge or a tree of life. That's up to you. The Pharisees approached it as a tree of knowledge. And they had fantastic knowledge. And when you come to the Bible as a tree of knowledge, there's no sword that has to fall on your self-life. There's no fire that has to burn up your self-life. You can just increase in knowledge and your head can ooze with Bible knowledge. You can become a professor in a Bible school and be the most selfish, unconverted, godless person in the universe. You know, it's possible. And the greatest example is the devil, who knows the Bible better than anybody else. He could even quote scripture to Jesus in the wilderness. Imagine knowing the Bible so well that you pick out the right verse out of all those verses in the Old Testament to quote to Jesus. He really knew the scriptures, the devil. And it's very easy for us, brothers and sisters, to come to meetings like this and to increase in knowledge. You know, in many places I travel, I find many people eagerly take down notes. That's good. If the reason is to read those notes again and to remind themselves, maybe I didn't get everything in the meeting, or they listen to the CD again. Very good. Or read those notes again so they're reminded again so the message sinks in. Excellent. But a lot of people take notes because they are preachers. There are a lot of people who go to our website to listen to messages because they want to preach those sermons. What are they coming to the website for? For knowledge, not for life. There is a price to be paid for life. The sword has to fall on your self-life, like it fell upon Jesus. That sword is a two-edged sword. It fell on Jesus and does to fall on us too. Not only Christ was crucified, but I am crucified with Christ too. It's only then that I live. Today a lot of people are seeking to live without being crucified with Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ and I live. And the Son of God lives in me. And it was real in his life. Today a lot of people say the Son of God lives in me, but they are not crucified with Christ. I say, how in the world did you bypass the sword and the fire and get to the tree of life? That must be a counterfeit tree of life, not the real one. The real one has got a sword and a fire around it. Paul got to it by being crucified with Christ, by having our old man crucified with him. Today a lot of people say, the Son of God lives in me. But it's not the Galatians 2:20 route that Paul mentions. It seems to be some other route they took. Yeah, there is another route, but it doesn't lead to the real tree of life. And that's why a lot of Christians today, their Christian life is so unsatisfying. Oh, brother, I'm depressed. I'm in a bad mood. Yeah, you will be, because you went to the wrong tree of life. If you come to the real tree of life, you will not live in depression and gloom and discouragement and defeat. Think of Christians who are born again for 25 years, still losing their temper, yelling at their wives, just like they did 25 years ago. You think such people have come to the tree of life? No, sir. They have come to the tree of knowledge. People watching internet pornography and then coming to the church and raising their hands and saying, Jesus, you're everything to me. Rubbish, you're everything to me. He's not everything to you. If he were everything to you, you wouldn't go to that internet pornographic site. You would hate it. You would turn away from it. When the devil tempts you to go to some internet pornographic site next time, think of the devil telling you like this, put your head in that toilet bowl and lick it. And you do it once and the devil says, one more time, lick it. And you lick it like a fool. You still want to lick it? Tomorrow? Next week? Married people, young people. Well, if you want to lick it, that's your choice. But I have to tell you the truth. You haven't come to the tree of life. You know what you need? I'll tell you. You need repentance and the baptism of fire. It's a fire that was there in front of the tree of life. You see, in Genesis 4, it says here, I like this story because it's the beginning of two streams in the human race, Cain and Abel. And the interesting thing is both streams here started with worshiping the true God. Cain came with an offering to Jehovah. What does it say in verse 3? It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to Jehovah, the true God. Not to some idol. He was no idol worshiper. He was no atheist who said there is no God. He was a deeply religious person who took the best of his offerings. He paid his tithes, as it were. And he brought an offering to the true God. And Abel also brought an offering to the true God. And it says here that the Lord, verse 4, the last part, had regard for Abel and for his offering. The devil has twisted that round with so many modern preachers who teach it like this. In many Bible schools they teach it like this. See the subtle difference, how the devil turns it round. The Lord had respect for Abel's offering, because it was a lamb with blood, and therefore he had respect for Abel. No, that's not what the Bible says. Read it carefully. The Bible says the Lord had regard for Abel, and therefore for his offering. Is it like that in your Bible? It's the man. This was not a sin offering. This was an offering of thanksgiving. And in an offering of thanksgiving, even in Leviticus, you didn't have to have blood. No. People could bring grain as an offering of thanksgiving. Cain's ground, it says he was a tiller of ground, he had a fantastic crop. And he said, I want to give an offering of thanksgiving to God. Here's my offering of grain, because that was his job. And Abel, he was a keeper of sheep. He had his flock multiplied. He said, I want to give thanks to God. He brought an offering from his profession. Both of them brought an offering from their own profession. There was nothing wrong in that. An offering of thanksgiving to God. Why did God accept one and not the other? It doesn't say God rejected Cain and Cain's offering, and therefore he rejected Cain. No, read verse 5. He rejected Cain. That's why he rejected his offering. So don't believe everything that you read in theological books and Bible schools and Bible school professors teach. It's Abel. And you know what verse in the New Testament this has reference to? What Jesus said. When you come with your offering to God, and there you remember that you've hurt somebody and they got something against you, leave your offering there. God won't accept it. Even if you say you're born again, you come with the blood of Jesus, God will not accept your offering because you haven't set things right with your wife. You haven't set things right with your neighbor. You haven't set things right with your husband or somebody else. Your offering will not be accepted. And God will not have regard for you or your offering. That's what we read here. He did not have regard for Cain or his offering because there was something that God saw in Cain's heart which was not right. How did Cain know? This is the point I want you to see. How did Cain know that God had accepted Abel's offering? I believe there was only one way. Fire came from heaven and consumed that offering. And Cain was waiting for the fire. Nothing happened. The offering was okay, but nice grain, but no fire. That is the difference between a religious person and a spiritual person. A religious person comes with his beautiful hands lifted up in praise and all that. There's no real fire. A spiritual person has got a fire in his life, the fire of God. Not something he makes himself. The fire of God comes and burns up his offering. And he becomes like the bush in the wilderness, burning with fire. He may be a smaller bush than those big other bushes, but I'd rather be a small bush on fire than a big bush without the fire of God. I want you to turn to Leviticus in chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, we read. Moses and Aaron offered up a burnt offering to God. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the burnt offering. Verse 22, it says here, he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Sin offering, if you had to shed blood, that's a picture of Christ on the cross. But burnt offering was a picture of our giving ourselves to God. And the way God accepted a burnt offering, we read, is in verse 24. Fire came from the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. That's the only way you know that God's accepted it. The burnt offering, if it was a bullock, they had to cut it up into pieces, the priest, and to put every piece. Now picture this in your mind. A priest is cutting a bullock and putting it on the altar, and he leaves one leg behind. He says, I think I'll take it home and eat it. No fire. And he prays and prays and prays and prays. No fire. Because there's something he has withheld for himself. And that's exactly the reason why there's no fire in the lives of many Christians. They put an offering, but everything is not there. And the Lord, who sees everybody's heart, says, I can see something in your life not yielded. You can pray till eternity, there'll be no fire. They had to put every piece on the altar, and once the last piece was laid there, there was no delay. Fire. You know, a lot of people are waiting for their baptism in the Holy Spirit. They might as well wait 100 years. It cannot come. Because you've got to wait. God is the one who's waiting for the last piece to be put on the altar. I remember one preacher who was seeking for the baptism of fire. And he thought he had laid everything on the altar. He was waiting, 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 waiting. Nothing happened. Till the Lord told him, you want the baptism of fire to become a more famous preacher, right? You won't get it. And then he discovered, as God showed him, that there was a lust in his heart to be like D.L. Moody or Charles Finney or someone like that, whose ministry was changed when they were baptized in fire, or like somebody else they heard of. And he laid it on the altar, and God met with him immediately. You know, the other day the Lord spoke to me through a verse. I'd just like to share it with you. It's in the Message translation of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, which the Lord speaks to those whom he sends away in the day of judgment. You know, I will declare to them, Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And the Message Bible says, do you know what I'm going to say to such people in the last day? You missed the boat. Listen to this. All you did was use me to make yourself important. Boy, I tell you, it shook me. All that you did was use me, the Lord says, to make yourself important. You know how many preachers are doing that today? Using the Lord's name to make themselves important? Musicians, singers, to make money, to make themselves important, to fool people. Plenty of it.